exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It is your two-for-one. It's a twofer of free speech because we're getting two shows out of one recording. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. You can send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. If you want to send it to Dr. Duke, I'll get that that address to you by the end of the show. But at any rate, we have with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is good to be here. Obviously, we're living in troubling times, but it is good to be here on Monday, which is your show. And usually, I'm obviously with Dr. David Duke on a Friday, but obviously, I am now bookending the weekend. So I'm happy with that. So let's get into it and discuss all these important topics.
Let's get into it. And if you want to support Dr. Duke's work, that check or money order or cash can be sent to P.O. Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. That's P.O. Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. All right. So we... ongoing Gaza apocalypse continues, and people are talking out against it. Even people who are normally super pro-Israel. You've got Charlie Kirk, of all people, from Turning Point USA, who said something that they don't like, and now they're going against him. And he's saying, wait a minute. I've sent hundreds of people to Israel. I've done this, I've done that, I've been super pro-Israel. And they're like, yeah, well, we're going to deplatform you. You should resign from the organization that your daddy gave you millions of dollars to build. Somebody else should lead it. Maybe a Jew should lead it. So, I mean, I think they're going too far, but it does seem that they're on the verge of just outlawing any kind of dissent in the Zionist-occupied countries. What's going on? I heard Rishi Sunak is maybe this isn't outlawing dissent, but he's going to build a big picket fence around his residence in wherever he lives, his home residence, not number 10 Downing Street. But so what's going on? But in Britain, you've had the giant protests continue. So what's going on? Are they going to be able to shut down these protests?
Well, this is the interesting thing. You see, what's been happening with the situation here in Britain is over the last, well, since the late 1980s, mass immigration has increased dramatically, as we all know. There's huge numbers of people who have come into this country from all over the world. And those people who've come into this country have often been from the Middle East. And that is a direct result. And I've made videos on this. That's a direct result of US foreign policy. So US foreign policy has been 100% to invade a range of different countries in the Middle East, or a number of different countries in the Middle East, at the behest of Israel. And this has led to a massive, massive flow of human beings into the West, especially into European countries. Now, I know this has also affected people in countries like North America, Canada, and the US, but this has been a huge problem for Europe. And over time, these Muslim communities have grown here. So here we have a huge number of people from Afghanistan, we have people from Syria, we have people who are here not because of war, but for other reasons, like the large number of people we have here from Pakistan. Now, the interesting thing about this is we're starting to see a situation where those communities have become larger and larger, and they have become better organized, to say the very least. We'll call it better organized. And they are organized politically, and they are also organized along social and religious lines as well. And because of that, as this conflict has kicked off in Israel, and as the UK government, as it always would, has slavishly supported the Zionist state and the Zionist state's desire to carry out acts of genocide in both Gaza, now the West Bank, and they're also talking about moving into Lebanon. You've got these huge communities of people living here in the UK who have sympathies with the Palestinians. I mean, some of these people are actually from Palestine. Some of these people are living here because they were displaced from Palestine due to Israeli aggression. So you've actually got a very, very interesting situation occurring at the moment. And that interesting situation is one whereby the Zionists who displace these people, and then the same Zionists who call for Europe to open her borders and let all these people in and to settle them at taxpayers' expenses, well, these same Zionists are now crying. They're screaming. They're calling this, you know, this is like a second Holocaust, because people are out on the streets. They are demonstrating against Israel. They are demonstrating against the British and American government's support of Israel. They're waving Palestinian flags. And, you know, to put it politely, they are not in any way amenable to the cause of Israel or to Zionism. And this is really, really bothering a lot of these Zionists. They do not like this. They are actively bothered by this. And it's something that they want to crack down on. And my big worry here, because the Daily Mail have really been ramping this up, as they would do. The Daily Mail is 100% in support of, Israel. But the Daily Mail have really been ramping this up. And I think it won't be long before somebody starts calling for new laws to outlaw the right to protest. And that is something that, you know, is absolutely horrendous. To think of that happening is sickening. But I think that's where this is going. I think we're heading to a point now where the Zionists, because look, let's face it, they're not going to stop waging war in the Middle East. They're not going to stop advocating for open borders. They're definitely not going to start advocating for deportations. So what are they going to start advocating for? And I think the answer there is 100% clear. They will start advocating for new laws which will clamp down on the right of protest, freedom of speech, and freedom of association in Western nations.
In the United States, I try to get the details of it later, but there was, inside the Capitol, there was a demonstration, I think it was by Jewish Voice for Peace, which is an old and pretty established Jewish peace group. I remember them from 20 years ago demonstrating against the Iraq war. They wanted to stop the Iraq war. I guess they were people, they're strongly identifying Jews, but they don't want to be identified. They don't want Jews to be identified with all of this war. It's not necessarily we're going to agree with them on everything, but their main focus seems to be to stop Jews from doing these horrible things in their name, and that's fine. And they had a demonstration in the Capitol, and they're not being called insurrectionists, but I don't know. In the United States, you've got this situation where, especially older people. I saw a poll that was released, and the question was, "Is Israel completely justified in its response?" Okay, so it's a pretty maximalist statement or question. It's a question on a maximalist position. Are they completely justified? And I think well over 80%, certainly over 80% of people who are 65 and older, pensioners, said yes. But as you went down each age cohort, it got less and less, to the point where in the 18 to 35 or 18 to 30 cohort, it was down to about 27% said yes. Now, maybe, are they largely justified or something like that? It's not as if the young people are necessarily going to be 75% pro-Palestinian, but the sympathies do drop off by age group. And of course, if we were to look at that poll racially, you would find white people, unfortunately, white people with their Stockholm syndrome would be massively more pro-Palestinian or pro-Israeli than, say, blacks or immigrants. If you looked at religious groups, again, I'm sure you would find that that evangelical Christians, whom, by the way, Jews have a very, very bad opinion of evangelical Christians, but evangelical Christians would be the most pro-Israeli. And then as you move away from that, you'd find less sympathy for Israel. This is a problem for them, and we're not having the mass demonstrations yet, but on college campuses, and this is ironic because college students, especially elite college students, tend to be some of the most indoctrinated with a variety of Jewish narratives, such as open borders and trannyism and all sorts of things. And yet they are, Harvard University, you had 31 student organizations that signed the petition protesting Israel's response. And the irony, of course, is that it's on these very same campuses that you'll find the most opposition to free speech, where they'll say things like speech is violence. Oh, really? Speech is violence. And so it's very ironic that these people who are the most indoctrinated with Jewish narratives, who are the most hostile to free speech, are now finding that when they protest against Israel, they are publicly being put on lists of blacklists for never getting jobs. And that's happening too. They're actually being doxxed, and there are Jewish groups saying that these people once they get out of Harvard, they should not be hired on Wall Street. They should not be hired in the media. So there's a massive irony there. And in the United States, it's a little bit harder to make laws against these things because of the First Amendment and its protections of speech and its explicit protection to petition the government to address your grievances. But I'm sure they'll find a way. What do you think, Mark? Will they find a way?
I think they will find a way. They'll find a way to intimidate people, and they will definitely find a way to reduce people's ability to speak freely, whether they do that through legal means or through other more nefarious or coercive means, such as doxing and basically threatening young people, because that's what it is. But here in the UK, there's always this cycle, and I'll try to discuss this as succinctly as I can, but in as much detail as is necessary. Now, what tends to happen is newspapers such as the Daily Mail stoke outrage. So newspapers such as the Daily Mail will say something like, "Oh my gosh, have you seen all of these people on the street? Look at them." Now, the Daily Mail is absolutely not a racially aware publication. It does not bat for the good of white people. It is essentially a newspaper that supports the conservative status quo, whilst at the same time fooling people into believing that there is a newspaper out there that is on their side, that is advocating for their rights. And they do that by, occasionally, counter signaling the Conservative Party on something like, deportations or mass immigration, or praising any prime minister that will come out and say, we need to start thinking about mass immigration and clamping down on mass immigration. And the newspaper will come out as if that person has done something great, and this is the reason everyone should support them. So the Daily Mail plays a special role in enforcing the status quo. But it also creates outrage. And recently, the Daily Mail has been creating outrage, which exists in a form of dog whistles. So the Daily Mail would never say, "Look at all these brown people with their foreign flags on the streets. Isn't this an outrage?" But they know that a lot of their readers do indeed think, "Oh gosh, look at all those brown people on our streets with their foreign flags. This is slightly intimidating. This is a bit of an outrage. We don't like to see this." And they know that. They know the sensibilities of their readers. So their dog whistle to those people is, they don't say, "Look at all these brown people." They say, "Look at all of these people. Look at all this sea of Palestinian flags. Look at these." And they'll describe them in the most damning fashion that they can without going too far. So they won't call them aliens, or they won't say that they're sort of, you know, descendants of migrants, but they will make it pretty damn clear that they're different to the average, you know, normal Brit, normal wink wink indigenous. But they would never say the term indigenous. They'd never say that. So they put this out, they dog whistle to normal people that there are all of these foreigners, you know, out on the streets, flags, banners, making a noise, hundreds of thousands of them all over the UK. They've brought London to a standstill, and the people are outraged. And then they ramp this up with other stories. So a story that we've had in the newspapers today, which I don't think is true. It might be true, but I don't believe it to be true. It says, I know one woman who has returned to Israel as she feels safer there despite the war. Life in Britain with its deep-rooted freedoms should not be like this, writes Jewish PhD student Daniel Revak. Well, this guy, you know, is using terms like deep-rooted freedoms. But what he's actually doing, I believe, is working against the British people to take away their freedoms. Now, I doubt this headline, because if you were someone living in Britain, to pack up all of your stuff and move to Israel, to go to Israel in the last 14 days, to pack up everything, find a new house, sell your old house, move all your stuff, sounds very improbable. Now, somebody might be living in Britain who has a house here and a house in Israel and has gone back to Israel. Maybe. But I don't think anyone sold up. But that's what it's meant to make you think, that they, you know, these Jews are fleeing the UK because it's so dangerous. And what he's saying is this danger, fundamentally, or it sounds like what he's saying, is that this danger comes from our deep-rooted freedoms. So I'll read it again. Life in Britain with its deep-rooted freedoms should not be like this. Well, the implication, or what I read from that headline, is that, you know, life for these poor Jewish people is bad because of these deep-rooted freedoms, that maybe these freedoms, you know, were a bit too free. Maybe there's too much freedom. Maybe that these Jewish people are being put at risk because there are too many freedoms here in the UK. So the Daily Mail, as I said, on one hand, is showing these outrage pictures, dog whistling at people who feel mass immigration's gone too far, and there's mass movements of, you know, essentially quote unquote brown people on the streets waving foreign flags. And at the same time, they're saying, you know, these big movements of people, they're not only offensive to you, but look, all these poor Jews who you probably see as white are having to flee the country because of this. Now, this is all pushing towards your average Tory supporting Daily Mail reader to start writing to the local MP and saying, things must change. We've got to stop this. This is ridiculous. I can't believe this. We need change, and we need it now. Well, what form will that change come in? Well, I don't think it'll be long before the Daily Mail issues some form of call, if it hasn't already, for Suella Braverman or for someone else to ban these pro-Palestinian demonstrations. The Daily Mail.
I just want to say, Suella Braverman is the Home Secretary, she is in charge of the police, and she's an Indian woman, right? And she's in charge of the police.
But she's married to a Jew.
She's married
to a Jew. And I think the Daily Mail will call for that. And because their sort of readers and those who support their agenda will have been reading, you know, all of this stuff, they'll be like, yes, this is exactly what we need. All patriotic, decent white people must rise up and demand change from the government. But what they don't understand is the change they're demanding won't be a document that says people who support the state of Palestine and aren't of indigenous stock and are waving foreign flags shall be banned hereby from demonstrating in numbers of over this amount between these hours in these places. It won't be a very specific law that stops what the Daily Mail is saying is an outrage. It'll be a wide-ranging and far-reaching law that is passed that will damage.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
What the Daily Mail is saying is an outrage. It'll be a wide-ranging and far-reaching law that is passed that will damage freedom of association, freedom of speech, and the right to demonstrate for everyone in the UK. And this, if this happens, the law will be worded in such a way that it will be at the government or the police's discretion as to who can demonstrate when, where, and in what numbers. So at this point, the government can say, well, BLM's on the streets, we like them, so we're going to let them carry on. They can trash a few shops, they can have a riot, this will all be fantastic. And then they can also say, oh, we're going to get the Palestinians off the streets. Anyone with these pro-Palestinian banners, anyone within 200 metres of the Israeli embassy, that's banned. But it's not going to end there, is it? It won't just be limited to your pro-Palestinian demonstrations. This will then be rolled out to people of indigenous descent, people who are white Brits who want to demonstrate against mass immigration, who want to demonstrate outside a hotel filled with migrants, who want to demonstrate against the grooming of white girls by people from ethnic minority backgrounds. And at that point, you see the danger of these laws. But these laws are always passed at times or pushed through when tensions are high, when people aren't thinking clearly, and when the public can be easily manipulated into supporting something which is actually crafted in such a clever way that, you know, it fundamentally ends up, you know, infringing on their rights rather than on the rights of the people who they think it's going to infringe on. And just for the record, I think the right to protest is very important. And I think the right to protest against the state of Israel is also very important. And just for a little bit of clarity, here in the UK, we have a very strange situation. And that situation results in a bizarre hypocrisy, where if these were BLM supporters waving BLM flags and, say, burning a Union Jack or burning the St. George's Cross or burning another flag of one of the home nations of the British Isles, the police wouldn't step in and do anything. And I've seen Union Jacks burnt many times by anti-white protesters. But this would be the kind of... But burning an Israeli flag, that's a taboo. That's a taboo. You can burn a British flag, but not an Israeli flag, which tells you everything you need to know about who's really in charge. But I think these new provisions would say things like, you're not allowed to burn flags at demonstrations, or you're not allowed to burn certain flags, or it's at the police's discretion what you can and can't do in relation to, sort of, say, the burning of a flag. And all of these things will eventually be used, as I said, to clamp down on the indigenous population as and when they speak out against mass immigration, or as and when they speak out against some kind of anti-white crime. So I can imagine it now, you know, in 5 years' time, the very same people who cheered these laws being, you know, being passed would be at a demonstration or watching a demonstration against grooming in some northern town, and some lad pulls out a Pakistani flag and is about to set it alight. 10 officers jump on him, you know. The protest is immediately closed. The riot police are set upon them. And the guy who's going to burn the flag ends up getting done for some terrorism offence and spends 3 years in jail. That's where this will lead. These Zionists, when they pass these laws or push for the passing of these laws, it's never to unpick the mess that they've created. It's always to take advantage of a bad situation in order to reduce the rights of the indigenous people of these islands.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things about these rights is that there's also a ratcheting effect. So we can think back to 9/11, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, and those wars are over now. But the loss of freedom, the erosion of our rights, it came with those invasions, which are all they're thoroughly discredited. These invasions, these wars, these occupations, been thoroughly discredited. But the Patriot Act is still on the books. All these other measures are still on the books. We did not get our freedoms back. You know, we still have to. With the Patriot Act, all sorts of things. So the telecom companies are still required to send their metadata, share their metadata with the National Security Agency, all sorts of things. So this is one of the dangerous things. And you know, a lot of the COVID measures too, which that's not foreign policy, but a lot of these measures are still on the books, or at least the precedents haven't been challenged in the courts and probably never will be. So where, Even though, honestly, I look at this situation that's developing in Israel, and I don't think the Israelis or the Jews are going to get their way in terms of being able to genocide or ethnically cleanse the Palestinians with impunity.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Sayonara, Lopato Kamisaki.
And I don't think the Israelis or the Jews are going to get their way in terms of being able to genocide or ethnically cleanse the Palestinians with impunity. I think this may well turn out to be a massive debacle for the state of Israel. It may well be forced to make concessions that would have been unthinkable, maybe. But even if that happens, we will probably emerge from this with fewer rights, fewer freedoms, more repression internally in the Zionist-occupied countries. So we may well come out with laws like you're talking about. In Britain, we're offering allowing the police to determine the size of protests, laws that can be enforced subjectively, and yeah, so that's the big danger that we face, is even if the overall cause of Israel leveling Gaza and turning it into a parking lot or annexing it or whatever, even if that fails, even if that doesn't happen, when do we ever get our freedom back? When do we stop being canceled? When do we get uncanceled? Are you ever going to get your YouTube back, for instance? You got your Twitter back for – did you get your Twitter back for like
– Got about a month.
Yeah.
But look, we never get our rights back. And do you know what? You've made some amazing points, Patrick. You've made some amazing points.
That's what I'm here.
Especially about COVID, about the Patriot Act. But if we were playing – if you ever played Top Trumps? It's a card game where you have to – and you end up with like the best card, the Trump card. Well, I've got the Trump card in my hand for examples of how you never get your rights back. Do you know when income tax was introduced in the UK?
I will guess if it was about the same time as the United States, World War One, as a measure to fund the war.
No. You're a long way out here, Patrick. Income tax was introduced in 1799 to pay for weapons and equipment in preparation for the Napoleonic Wars. Now, the Napoleonic Wars are long over, yet we still pay substantial amounts. In fact, we still pay more income tax. Well, we pay more income tax now than we've ever paid before. And that tells you everything you need to know about Western government. Everything that they introduce that erodes our rights are rarely ever repealed. I'm sure there are examples of certain things that are repealed, that were certain things that were brought in as, you know, coronavirus measures that have since been repealed. But many of the things that are brought in as emergency measures, or so-called emergency measures in inverted commas, are never, ever repealed. Income tax probably being the most famous because, you know, we are, you know, well over 200 years into paying for the Napoleonic Wars. I couldn't tell you exactly when the Napoleonic Wars ended, but they are not currently ongoing. But we're still paying the tax that was levied to fund those wars. And this happens time and time again. And if you think for 1 minute that for just 1 minute that they are going to actually stop bringing people from the Middle East here or reduce the flow of people from the Middle East into the UK, they're not. Now, I am going to read this to you now. Coalition of pro-refugee groups call for immediate resettlement scheme for Palestinians to the UK. A blueprint setting out how Britain could provide refuge to thousands of Palestinians from Gaza has been drawn up by a coalition of charities and groups. Organisations include the Refugee Council, Safe Passage International, Doctors of the World, Helen Bamba Foundation and City of Sanctuary have raised concerns about the conflict worsening the Palestinian refugee crisis. They are urging the UK government to introduce an emergency family reunion scheme modelled on the Initiative for Ukrainians and carry out a medical evacuation for people in need of specialist care. Other actions being called for include the prioritisation of cases of Palestinians and Israelis already in the UK asylum system. I'm sure they won't be Israelis, as in Jewish Israelis, along with facilitated travel for the UK nationals and for those with the right to enter the UK. Now, this is really, really interesting. Because the person pushing this, the person at the head of this drive to bring more Palestinians here, his name is Enver Solomon. Now, he's the chief executive of the Refugee Council. And I'll continue reading from the article. Enver Solomon, chief executive of the Refugee Council, said the UK must be ready to play a role in the refugee crisis. As the conflict worsens, the number of Palestinian men, women and children displaced and those facing grave danger will only increase. He said people who aren't secure and safe in their homes need to access safety and the UK must be ready to play a role by implementing a package of emergency measures at short notice. This is incredible, isn't it? And Solomon goes on to say, responses to recent major conflicts have resulted in different schemes for different nationalities, always separate and often complex eligibility criteria and unclear funding regimes. Instead of this ad hoc and inconsistent approach, a standard set of measures to provide safe passage to those who need it should be operationalized as and when a crisis warrants such a response. Now, this is insane. This is literally insane. So,
well, and may we note that Solomon... What kind of name is Solomon anyway? That's his last name.
There's a picture of him doing the rounds, and I can tell you this. You know, I am going to guess he is one of the tribe. I'm going to guess that he's Jewish. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and in a way, it's a twofer. So
It is a twofer.
Yeah, you ethnically cleanse Gaza, and then you flood UK and other countries with another couple million Muslims. So it's a twofer.
It is. Yeah. It is.
I mean,
it is an absolute
twofer. I'm not proposing this. I'm not proposing this. But what if someone were to say, oh, well, okay, why don't we do an exchange? So for every one Palestinian brought to our country, we send one Jew to Gaza. Is that a twofer?
Well, I'll tell you this. That won't be happening, though, will it? You see, this is the thing. I have consistently laid out over the past few years that there is an absolute series of connected events. Zionists call for wars in the Middle East. The UK and the US either support, fund, or directly involve themselves in these wars. Countries get leveled. Hundreds of thousands die. Millions more get displaced. Those who are displaced get forced out of the region. They head towards Europe. And the same Zionists that caused all those earlier processes then start calling for open borders. They start calling for Europe to take in the very people that their desire for war displaced. So then you end up in this situation where the Jews get a greater level of control over the Middle East. The Zionists get a greater level of control over the Middle East. But equally, white people here in the West, either the indigenous people of European nations or the founding stock of nations like America and Canada, get displaced and replaced themselves and get less of a say in the running of their nations. So this always results in greater Zionist power in the Middle East, but less power for white people in their countries. And it takes us closer to that all-important date of 2066, which is the date in Britain, by absolute coincidence, 1,000 years after the last time we were successfully invaded. But 1,000 years after the Norman conquest, white Brits will be a minority because of actions like this. And I am sure that the Zionists that celebrate these wars in the Middle East also celebrate the replacement of white people here in the West. So you're absolutely right. This is a twofer. It's two victories for them, but most crucially, it is a big fat L for us Europeans, for people of European descent. And the worst thing about it all, in fact, you know, the spitting in the eye here is we're paying for it all. So often we fund these wars in the Middle East, and then we pay for the migrants to come here and the cost of putting them up. So there is this complex series of events which leads to, as I say, more power for Zionists in the Middle East and less power for white people in their own country. And the kicker is white people pay for it all.
Right. And what I've seen over the course of my adult life, things are in there is some political realignment going on in the United States now. But for most of my adult life, I've looked around and you had conservatives, you had the Republican Party, the right wing. And honestly, they didn't gripe that much about immigration. Some did maybe, but it really wasn't that big of an issue. But, you know, you could think of the right as being a little bit more, maybe a little bit more, really not that much, but a little bit more apprehensive about immigration. But they were really pro-war. OK, we're really, really pro-war. You go back to the 70s. They were more pro-Vietnam War. They were pro-war in terms of Latin America, the Central America. They were for the Contras in Nicaragua. They were for these wars. They were really gung-ho on the Gulf War and the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. They were really pro-war. And whereas on the left, they weren't that anti-war, but there was an anti-war element. And the left-wing anti-war element, to a large extent, was Chomskyite. And the problem with the Chomskyites is, you know, they'll say it's war for oil. It's war for corporate greed. They won't say it's war for Israel, and they won't say it's war for Jews. So they leave the whole Jewish thing out of it. And so you get these wars like you're talking about, and then you get these refugees, and then the left-wing Chomskyite position was, well, America broke it. We broke it, so we've got to accept all these refugees. So basically on the left, you had you might have had an anti-war position. It was a pretty small minority that was vocal against wars, but you had basically an anti-war position, but then they were more prioritized on accepting refugees. So you and effectively the Republicans were the designated winners on their war policy, and the Democrats were the designated winners on the immigration policy. So it looked as if you had this very lively, vocal, vigorous political process going on, where you had these two groups, the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're fighting with each other on everything. But the fact of the matter is, the pro-war, largely Republicans, were going to get their way on the wars. And the pro-immigration, oh, we got to accept all these refugees, they were going to get their way on the refugees and the immigrations. So you kind of had these designated winners and designated losers. And yeah, you get that twofer where the Jews got their way on all these wars, and they also got their way on all this immigration. And it seemed to be in a atmosphere of bipartisan competition, or two-party competition. And there are elements of that, but effectively you had two groups that were largely controlled by Jewish money, and the Jewish money was getting its way both on having lots of wars and having lots of immigration. That's what I have observed for most of my adult life, and I don't know if it exactly corresponds to what goes on in Britain or not, or other countries, but what do you think?
No, I completely agree. And I think what you're really saying is both parties have kind of a symbiosis. They both get something out of this. So, your war hawk neocon Republicans get another war, and that makes people who are their friends and their donors lots of money. It oils the industrial military complex. It creates arms deals. It creates wealth. And for the Democrats, I mean, they might get some of that because they're not exactly all peasants, are they? But the Democrats also get something else out of this, and they get resulting mass immigration, which they obviously completely favour. But then here in the UK, both the Conservatives and the Labour Party favour mass immigration, and they favour mass immigration for a reason. The Conservatives in the UK base most of their projections for economic growth off a booming housing market. And the reason the housing market booms is because of mass immigration, because of a growing population. That is what drives the endless building of new build houses in the UK, which is fundamentally what they want. They want houses to be built literally everywhere in the UK to ensure that they keep making a vast amount of money from the economic growth caused by endless house building. And obviously that has a number of really, really bad effects on normal people, not least the destruction of the countryside, but also overcrowding, flooding, etc. But they don't really care about any of that. What they care about is ensuring that they can say to their friends in the building sector, look, we're going to keep giving you the ability to build more houses, but also they want to keep saying to the population, if you vote Conservatives, we will give you the dream of endless economic growth. And obviously we know endless economic growth is a complete fantasy, but they keep bringing it about in the short term through population growth. So I think both sides of the house have multiple reasons as to why they are fans of mass immigration. And I would say, you know, for those who would be categorized as being on the left, you know, votes and white replacement is pretty high up there. And for those who are categorized as being on the right, it might not be so much votes and white replacement, but for them, they have, you know, what they see as equally good reasons for supporting these foreign wars and for bringing people in, you know, and that, unfortunately, is how they sell mass immigration to the people who are passing legislation, making laws, and fundamentally to people.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Is how they sell mass immigration to the people who are passing legislation, making laws, and fundamentally to people who are okaying these endless series of Middle Eastern excursions, which are the fundamental driving force for the vast volumes of people leaving the Middle East and coming to the West.
So we don't have a whole lot of time left. There is a former reporter for the, I guess he was a Middle East bureau chief for the New York Times, named Chris Hedges. I don't know if you've heard of Chris Hedges, but he's somebody who's, he's got a podcast. He's pretty well known as a, you know, on the left as an anti-war voice. And he has been doing some very good commentary on the crimes of the Israeli government vis-a-vis Gaza, and not just now, but historically. And he's come out with some very, very good commentary. And yet he's kind of the exact type of person I'm talking about. He's got this Chomskyite view where, and maybe he will change, but he doesn't place, like, ultimately, Israel doesn't do what Israel does because of any kind of flaw in the Jewish character or anything like that. It's a instrument of American corporate power. This is kind of the Chomskyite view. And so and the thing is, if you don't look at, if you refuse to view the United States as being run by Jews, and instead want to say it's run by corporations, and then Israel is an instrument of American foreign power, then the guilty party in all of this winds up being the United States or the West. And then if you've got outrage towards them and they're the responsible party, then they are the people that need to accept the refugees. Those are the people that need to be punished, that need to provide restitution. And restitution, if you've destroyed people's homes, then restitution is giving them a new home. So I don't know if you're familiar with Chris Hedges, and I'm much more familiar with the good things he says in terms of placing blame on Israel as opposed to Hamas. But still, he is one of these Chomskyite voices that I've been hearing for 20 years, always studiously avoiding the issue of actual Jewish power in the United States. So I kick it back to you. And also, in our remaining minute or two, let people know how they can find the weekly shows that you do on your own outlets.
Well, thank you very much. I have a weekly show called Patriotic Weekly Review. Patrick used to be a regular on that. And last week's episode, which you should check out, is still live on BitChute, Rumble and Odyssey. And it was an interview with Syrian Girl, and it was our takes on the human rights abuses in Gaza. And I released a video at the end of last week called Zionist Hypocrisies Exposed. And I think it was one of my best videos that I've ever done, actually. I'm particularly proud of this one. And it listed the seven greatest Zionist hypocrisies of the current conflict, and went into detail about each of those, which includes sort of human rights, war crimes, deportations, and the way that Zionists have one rule for themselves and one rule for everyone else. So please do check those out, and I will send over the links to Patrick. So if he wants to share those, he can share them in the show notes. Thank you so much, and I'll see you same time next week.
Thank you, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banner.